In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Good morning, everyone. A special welcome to our guests and our visitors. We hope you feel at home here at St. Benedict's. We're happy that you're here, especially on this Labor Day weekend. There was a young man who decided he wanted to be a monk. And so he went to this beautiful monastery. I mean, it was beautiful, on a hill, not far from the ocean. Lots of land, a beautiful place. And when he got there for the first day to be introduced to the community, he was now received as a postulant, starting his process there in the monastery. They assigned an old wise brother, an old monk, to show him the property. Now, you got to understand, this monk had been there for 60 years, so he knew every corner of this place. And so the young man walks into the monastery and is greeted by this old monk, this old brother, who's going to show him around. And as the old brother is showing him around and they're walking around from here to there, he starts explaining, you know, we make, you know, in this place, in this community, we take three vows: poverty, chastity, and obedience. And as they're walking around, you know, the old monk says to the young postulant, you see that mountain over there? Everything from that mountain to that mountain, all of that, and even on the other side, you hit the sea, all of that belongs to the monastery. The young man says, wow. Starts looking around, and they walk a little further along, and they see a big, big field with lots of cattle, cows, everything. And he says, you see that entire field? You see all the cattle? You see all of that? It all belongs to the monastery. And they keep walking along, and then they see that there are these beautiful horse stalls with horses and everything on the other side. He says, you see all of those stalls? You see the horses? All of that, it belongs to the monastery. And so, you know, he goes on and on explaining this, and just as he's, you know, showing him around, he says, you know, remember, poverty, chastity, obedience. And so they're talking about this for quite a while, and eventually the young postulant starts scratching his head. And he says to the brother, brother, I'm a little confused. He says, well, yeah, tell me. Well, you talked about poverty, chastity, and obedience, and the vows and all. And, you know, I'm just looking around at all this property and all this stuff. I said, if this is what you mean by poverty, I'm just dying to find out what you mean by chastity. When you look at today's gospel from Luke, it talks about a radical following of Jesus. It talks about a radical discipleship. And if you look at it even closer, you're going to find that there are four things that Jesus is trying to tell his people about the cost of discipleship. Now let's put the scripture in context, because sometimes we read the Bible, you know, and we see a word or something like today, you hear hate, you know, hate your father, your mother. You heard that? Very strong word, right? Sometimes you look at the gospel, and unless you understand the context it's being said in, it's very, very difficult to understand. It's like walking into a celebration or walking into a party and you don't know what people are celebrating, you know? That's what happens to us when we read the Bible. Unless we know what's really happening, it's hard to understand. And so today, we have to see that Jesus is addressing the crowds. Did you see that at the beginning? The crowds. And who were those crowds? Well, they were people who were following Jesus all over the place. And the reason they were following Jesus all over the place is because Jesus was known as a great miracle worker. So you can imagine people who were hurting in their bodies, people who couldn't see, they had heard that he gave sight to the blind. And people who were paralytic, you know, they could get up and walk. And people who were hurting here or there were healed. And so, of course, a lot of these people were following Jesus out of curiosity. They were really trying to find out, what will Jesus do for me? I too am in need. What will Jesus do for me. And so we've got to understand who Jesus is speaking to. He's speaking to people who are following him, large crowds, because they want to see what this Jesus is up to. And I'm sure many of them were hearing a new message, a message that to them was very new because they felt compassion, they felt mercy, they felt love from someone in religious authority. Jesus was just not hitting them over the head with the law. Jesus was showing them the compassionate face of God, the loving face of God. He was bringing them in. He was embracing them and caring for them in a way that was new to them. So when you look at discipleship and you look at today's gospel, we're really being called to understand that we, you and I, have to also know the cost. We have to measure the cost and understand what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. We can't just be the curious ones looking for the miracle, looking for Jesus to do something for us. Jesus is trying to explain to us too. You too must be willing to carry your cross. You too must be willing to plan. Jesus uses the example, right, of the man who was planning. Did he have enough resources? Or the king that needed to know, did he have enough troops to against the other king? And ultimately, Jesus says, you must be willing to put aside your possessions. So Jesus wasn't talking about hating your family members or what is good. Jesus was saying, you know, you got to put God first. You know, Matthew's version, it says, anyone who puts this before God is not worthy to be my disciple. So Jesus is saying, is God really first in our lives? You know, today is a great day for Christianity and for people of all faith traditions throughout the world. Because today is one of those few days where you're going to turn on the news or read the front pages of papers and you're going to see a real Christian woman who transformed her world by responding to this call and this cost of discipleship. And I'm talking about Mother Teresa of Calcutta. You know, the Pope Francis, the Bishop of Rome, canonized her today, and that's just a fancy term that is used to make someone official and to put them in the saint's calendar. And you know, we Anglicans, we have our own little process by which we recognize people. It's a little less complicated, but it's still a process. And people are honored and remembered on certain dates for their heroic leadership. In the case of Mother Teresa of Calcutta, and I think especially for the benefit of our young people, I think we need to understand how she took up this cross and lived discipleship so that we can really understand the story. Because when I see it in the newspaper or I see it here and there, I say, you know, we're not really telling the story. We're not really telling what happened, at least not from a gospel perspective. You know, think about it. This rich young woman, or well-to-do young woman from Yugoslavia, decided she was going to give her life to God. And so they sent her to a convent. You know where? In Ireland. That's far away from Yugoslavia, right? They sent her to Ireland. And so this young woman was convinced, hey, I'm giving my life to Jesus. I'm totally committed to this. I'm taking the vows, doing the thing, going in the convent. And she taught schoolgirls. We still have some of those, you know, schoolgirls, you know, being taught by nuns throughout the world. Not too many, but we still have some of those. And they're kind of like an exclusive school, if you will. It was a comfortable place. It was a place where the sisters educated these young women. And they gave them a great education, gave them a secure, safe place to live. And I'm sure that Mother Teresa was very fulfilled with her life. But just so that you know, as disciples of Jesus, we need to know this. God often calls us to make a U-turn in our lives, or even a detour. If you haven't experienced too many U-turns or detours, get ready, because at some point in your life you will. And Mother Teresa was minding her own business, doing what she did best. She was a happy religious sister, a happy Christian. And on her way to retreat on a train ride, one day, she felt in her heart this call within her call. Remember, she had already left everything for Jesus. But now she felt something else. God saying, I want you to go out from your convent. I want you to go out into the streets and help the poorest of the poor. And so this nun from Yugoslavia, working in Ireland, now has to ask permission of her superiors to take off her religious habit, to come out of the convent, and to go into the streets. Now, for us nowadays, you say, oh, isn't that a great story? But we have to understand that in the 1940s, no woman was out on the streets wandering around picking up poor people. It was just not considered in the realm of possibilities. And so when she began to ask her superiors and the bishops and all the way up to the Pope for this special permission, at first, they kind of freaked out. There was a lot of resistance, but she felt this was God's call. And so this woman, this nun, this sister, decides to leave her somewhat comfortable environment, her familiar surroundings, to go into the streets of India, Calcutta, one of the poorest places in the world. And the story goes that Mother Teresa turned a little one-bedroom apartment into her new makeshift convent. And when she did that, two other women joined her, two other sisters joined her, and now she had a community, and they started working for the poorest of the poor. And Mother Teresa would, in her own words, describe the first time she went out and she saw a man on the side of the road, in one of those gutters, you know, on the side of the road, kind of where all the trash and, you know, all of the, everything gets caught up in there, you know what I'm talking about? He was there, thin as can be, you could hardly see him. And she picked him up with the other sisters, they took him back to the convent. And this man all of a sudden felt like a human being. Everyone had ignored him. They started cleaning his wounds. They started bathing him and caring for him and clothing him and feeding him. And after 2 weeks, he was a different person. He could stand up on his own again. He felt like his dignity was given back to him. And all of a sudden, Mother Teresa describes the day when she looked into his eyes. Now remember, in the 1940s, you know, nuns, religious and all that, they didn't look into anyone's eyes. You had to have custody of the eyes, remember? Father Bob knows that, remember Father Bob? Custody of the eyes, you couldn't look. So to have this woman in the 1940s go out into the street and look at a man in his eyes and say to him, I want to help you. Imagine what that meant. That man resisted her help a long time until 2 weeks later he saw himself totally resurrected. He had his life again. And Mother Teresa tells the story of the day he left. He went up to her and he said, listen, lady, I never met a Christian. I'm a Hindu. And I didn't know too much about you guys. I just heard about these Christians, but I didn't know too much about you guys. But I just want to tell you something. As the man looked into her eyes, he says, I want to thank you for loving me. Because the reason you found me in the gutter and the reason I was suffering as much as I was suffering was because no one had loved me in a very long time. I just want to thank you for loving me. And Mother Teresa tells the story of how the man walked out and began his life again. And that was the first person of many, 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 many people that she and her sisters would pick up. And you know, tomorrow will be 19 years since she passed away. So imagine perhaps one of the quickest canonizations in history, because sometimes it takes decades or centuries for people to be recognized official saints in the saints calendar. But you look at Scripture, and Scripture calls all Christians in the earliest days the saints, right? We are all called to discipleship. We are all called to be the saints of God. We are all called to do special things for Jesus. Every once in a while, God sends very extraordinary people, like Mother Teresa, to come and remind us of the presence of the living God among us. When I was 15 years old and I was starting to think about priesthood, I remember I went to see a movie. It was a documentary called Mother Teresa. And the movie began with all these images that were in black and white: war, hunger, suffering, all kinds of horrible human tragedies. And the words of that movie have stayed with me all this time. And they went like this: there's a light in this world, a greater spirit than any darkness we may encounter, a force that is greater than any darkness we may encounter. We sometimes lose sight of this force when they're suffering, too much pain. But then suddenly the Spirit emerges in the lives of ordinary people who hear a call and answer in extraordinary ways. And that's how the movie started. Images of darkness, images of suffering, images of great poverty, which are a reality in our world. And then there's this person that God calls to dedicate their lives to the poorest of the poor. I say this to you today because when Jesus saw that crowd, he wanted them to know that being a disciple was going to cost them something. Being a disciple meant that they have to listen to God's voice in their hearts and with their minds and respond to the voice of God. Because it's not enough to listen. You got to respond to God's call. And then when you start responding, get ready, because God may call you to take a detour here or a detour there, or may tell you, take a U-turn. That's not where I want you. I want you over here. And when God does that, God is wiser and greater than all of us. I'm sure Mother Teresa must have thought, wait a minute, is this some crazy idea I have in my head? I'm already a nun. I'm already here. I already gave my life to Jesus. Why am I going to go out into the street to do that? Well, she was responding to God's radical call in a new way. We could say that God threw her a curveball and she knew how to hit it. In our lives, God may throw us curveballs. We got to know how to respond. That's what discipleship is. I want to share with you a few words that come right out of Mother Teresa's mouth. And this thing to me is very, very important, because we're all going to find circumstances in our lives here in the 21st century as we try to follow Jesus. We're going to find difficult circumstances at work. Am I right? Difficult circumstances with family. Am I right? Difficult circumstances in relationships. Right? Difficult situations economically, professionally, here and there. We're all going to encounter struggles with health. Different kinds of struggles that will be part of our human existence. And sometimes the people around us, they don't really act in a very loving and reasonable way, so we can get discouraged. So I love these words, because these words say to me that we've got to really put discipleship, our call to discipleship, front and center in our lives. We've got to learn to put God first, even when it's difficult. Mother Teresa said, "People are often unreasonable and self-centered. Forgive them anyway. If you are kind, people may accuse you of ulterior motives. Be kind anyway. If you are honest, people may cheat you. Be honest anyway. If you find happiness, people may be jealous or envious. Be happy anyway. The good you do today may be forgotten tomorrow. Do good anyway. Give the world the best you have, and it may never be enough. Give your best anyway. For you see, in the end, it is between you and God. It was never between you and them anyway. The reason Mother Teresa was able to pick up those people off the street, the reason she was able to help all of those poor people, the poorest among the poor, is because she saw the image and likeness of God in every human being. People used to criticize her all the time because most of the people she helped were not Christians, were not fellow Christians. They were people of other faith traditions in the different places where she worked and lived. But she always came back to say, when I help someone, I see the image and likeness of the living God in that person. So she understood that to be a disciple meant she was doing it for God. Never forget that whatever you do as a follower of Jesus, whatever you do to be his disciple, remember, you are doing it for God. And when people are unreasonable, unfair, unjust, when people mistreat you, love them anyway. For that's what we are called to do as disciples of the Lord Jesus. Amen.